Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of My Favorite Friendship. I'm Mark Musinski.
And I'm Brian Wohl.
And we are friends. And this is a show about friends. And it's also a show for friends, which means you guys are our friends. And it's also a show that's meant to be shared with friends. So if you have a moment, please find one of your episodes that you enjoy and send it to someone you think would also enjoy it. My Favorite Friendship, for those of you who are new, is a true friendship podcast where we talk about real stories of real friendships from the past that we hope can inspire us to be better friends today. It's like a true crime podcast, but instead of learning how to kill someone, we learn how to hug them. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of like that. I think that's close. It's pretty good, Mark.
One day we'll nail it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we learn about these. I feel like the true murder, true crime podcasts are about, you know, trying to solve the mystery and also like how to avoid these situations. Whereas like true friendship is like how to solve, you know, how these people came together and how we can get into these situations.
Ooh, I like that.
Right?
Yeah.
Maybe?
No, it's great.
Like, how do I get into this situation of friendship? And the situation I got this week is pretty rad.
What happened?
I'm into it. For my friendship?
Oh, I thought you meant you got into a new friendship this week.
Oh, no, I wish. I don't meet anybody. It's COVID.
That's why I thought it was rad. When you said rad,
no,
I was like,
yeah,
rad.
No. No, I wish. Soon enough, I did a comedy festival. I kind of met people a little bit, but it was at a distance. Mm-hmm. We became social media friends at least, so like I can see what their jokes are like, and maybe that can eventually lead to a friendship, a la Mark Twain and Nikola Tesla. Being a fan of someone else can
That's
help
true.
You become their friend. Be like, I really enjoy your work.
That was the theme in a lot of these friendships, actually.
Telling someone you enjoy their work is one of the best ways to become their friend, I think.
It's very, very
that's
true.
That's why a lot of coworker friendships work out really well. Like, hey man, I love working with you, you know?
Yeah.
You get the job done,
the
you party.
Thing...
Or like we both hate this place. It's one or the other.
The other thing that's great about coworker friendships is you usually get a sense of how they act under pressure, you know? You're both in a constant situation of having to do stuff. And you have an understanding of how this person works.
Oh, yeah. And then it also has something like a shared activity, like to go to our Martha Stewart Snoop Dogg friendship.
Mm-hmm.
They made friends so well while cooking together.
That's true.
I love having a shared activity.
And a shared group of references and people. You know, when you run out of stuff to talk about, you can always be like, oh, my God, do you remember what Bobby said the other day? So crazy.
Yeah, so, you know, but yeah, I guess I was just already excited about the friendship that I'm presenting today.
Well, then, I don't want to hold you back. What is this friendship?
Mark, the friendship that I'm presenting today is also centered around food, because I'm a big advocate of this. My love language is acts of service. And so cooking for people is something that I just love.
Well, you say your love language, like the way you show love.
Yeah, the way I show love.
Is it also the way you receive love through acts of service? Or are you like a words of affirmation?
I'm more of a words of affirmation. So it's someone affirming they enjoyed my act of service.
Gotcha. It should be like a virtuous cycle.
I mean, in my head. I don't know. It was the book I read, man. I don't know. Alyssa gave me the book. She was like, read this. What's your love language? And I was like, I think it's this. And she was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. So food.
It's like therapy for people who don't have insurance, you know?
Books.
Kind of. The love language book.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. I mean, it feels pretty accurate.
This is how I show love, is I cook for you or something like that. Yeah. And I think like I said, shared activities, I think cooking is great. And so my friendship is based around cooking. It starts in the kitchen, and it's between film director, former actor, former Second City performer, Jon Favreau, and famed celebrity chef who has multiple shows on television now, and famed chef from Los Angeles, mixing the world of Korean food with Latino food with L.A. food, like fries and stuff, Roy Choi. Gotta love Roy Choi.
He does. Yeah. Well, do you know his restaurants in L.A.? Which ones have we been to?
I know
I've been to Chego, right?
Yeah, so we've been to Chego, but Chego's moving now. Chego is supposed to be... The spirit of Chego is that it's supposed to be in a place that nobody wants to really go. So now that the area that Chego... That was in Chinatown... Oop, Blue had a little cough. He's sitting on my lap right now.
Oh, Blue.
Hi, Blue.
Blue, you're our second podcast guest ever. How does it feel?
Yeah, Blue's the second podcast. How's it feel, Blue? What do you think, Blue? Anything? Nothing. Just smelling the microphone, really. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so you had the Kogi Korean barbecue food truck.
Yeah.
That's really like, Kogi is really, Roy Choi's big. That's the big one.
Yeah.
He has a couple other ones, but Chego and Kogi are the ones that I really know.
Yeah.
I think we've been to a couple other ones that
I've
he's involved
for
in.
Sure.
But yeah, Chego, since it was in a what became a very popular area because Holland Ray's moved in there and all these other awesome niche restaurants moved into this plaza in Chinatown, Roy Choi has decided to move Chego back to the west side.
I know,
man. And you and me are not West Side boys. We are not West Side boys. That is not who we are.
Like, I like the West Side. I'm just not there that often.
Yeah. I can tell you, though, let's go into their bios a little
bit. Yeah, yeah,
so
please. I'm sorry.
Choi,
I got
Choi
distracted
and Favreau,
because I'm hungry.
Yeah, so Choi and Favreau, they're only 3 years apart. And I'll start with Roy Choi, and then we'll get to Favreau.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And then
great.
How they meet, I guess.
Perfect.
So Roy Choi, he was born in South Korea, but he was raised in Los Angeles. So he comes from, you know, this dude is an immigrant, literally,
mm-hmm.
and comes from, you know, this tradition of South Korean food. And then he's raised in L.A., you know, gets exposed to flavors of L.A., L.A. culture. You know, he's got tattoos. He's really an Angeleno more than he is, you know, Korean, I would say. Part of what attracts me to Roy Choi is I feel like Roy Choi and his restaurants and the flavors that they have are uniquely Angeleno. They are the flavors of Los Angeles.
That's a good way to look at it.
And I think Roy Choi's restaurants capture the spirit of different parts of Los Angeles. And I think that I don't think I'm alone in this. This isn't like a super original thought,
yeah.
I don't think. But yeah, I think this dude really has a lot of the flavors of what makes LA, LA. And I've been struggling as someone that moved to LA to find, like, what is LA culture? What is LA food? What is, you know, what does it mean to be an Angeleno? And to me, Roy Choi is like kind of the essential Angeleno. He's quintessential Angeleno. And that's part of what I find so inspiring about him. So he initially wanted to be like a lawyer, I think.
that didn't work out.
His parents, when he was a teenager, they moved to Orange County to have like a jewelry business. And then he ended up getting into drugs, so he went to military school. And then he was like, well, I guess I'll be a lawyer. And I think it's so interesting that he was involved in military school, because there is something about working in the kitchen where the kitchen is not, and Roy Choi has said things like this before, where like the kitchen isn't the same as the military, but there is like a hierarchy, and there is like a way to behave, and you fall in line. And so I think it's interesting that he comes from kind of a semi-military background.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably helped his restaurants in the way that he adapted to kitchen culture.
There's sort of a precision that you need to run it and to work in it, that it helps to have maybe that kind of discipline to do.
Yeah. And like, so he went to the Culinary Institute of America, which is, you know, a pretty nice school for chefs. Mm-hmm. And then he interned at Le Bernardin, which is a famous French restaurant. And after his internship at Bernardin, he partnered with Mark and Caroline Manguera to start the Kogi Korean barbecue trucks.
And what year? Do you know what year that was? Because
that was 2008. That was 2008.
2008
was the Kogi barbecue trucks.
Early in the sort of food truck revolution that was happening at the time?
This was the beginning of the food truck revolution. Roy Choi is pretty much the food truck dude.
Wow.
Like Roy Choi is pretty much the guy behind the food truck revolution. The Kogi truck changed everything because Roy Choi used Twitter. Mm-hmm. And through their use of Twitter, of being like, we're going to be here, and tagging people, and, you know, making it kind of like a fun thing to find the Kogi truck. And, you know, they only had this much barbecue, so you could only get that much stuff that day. So it was kind of an achievement to get Kogi. And so it kind of became like a game for the consumer. It was cool. And so it blew up. Not only because of food critics, but because of Twitter. And while Kogi was blowing up, one of the people that was very close to Jon Favreau at the time was Gwyneth Paltrow, because they were working on Iron Man.
Hmm.
And so Gwyneth Paltrow had heard about Kogi on Twitter and then tried it and was like, this is amazing. So she bought out Kogi for a day and had Roy Choi and two Kogi trucks come to the set of Iron Man. And that is how Jon Favreau got to find out who Roy Choi is.
What's crazy about that
is Gwyneth Paltrow.
It's weird. It's hard for me picturing the Roy Choi as he is now. There was a time where he was the guy cooking the food in the Kogi truck because it was his first thing.
Yes. Roy Choi is always the guy cooking the food, though. He's not like a flashy dude. He has flashy jobs now, but he's not a flashy dude. He's very quick to get in and cook. And on the chef show that Jon Favreau and Roy Choi have together, which is one of my favorite shows, they cook often. It's a cooking show.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Roy Choi, yeah, man, he was just in there cooking. It was gritty. But he loves that.
Sorry, so I interrupted. But it's a different kind of
celebrity chef. Yeah, so Gwyneth Paltrow is the one that brought him over. And it's so funny because like everybody wants to rip on Gwyneth Paltrow for so many things. And it's justified. But also, it's easy to rip on Gwyneth Paltrow because she keeps putting herself out there.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that Gwyneth Paltrow keeps putting herself out there and keeps trying things, and she fails publicly again and again and again. And that's what happens when you put yourself out there. And you're not always going to be right. But because Gwyneth Paltrow did this, this changed Roy Choi's life. And it changed Jon Favreau's life because he ended up meeting a bro who inspired him. So Favreau, after Iron Man, right? He makes Iron Man 2, which doesn't do as well. He does Cowboys and Aliens. He did Elf was just before Iron Man. So he was doing all these big box office movies. So 6 years later, 2014, Favreau's like, I'm tired of big movies. I need to do something else. I need to make a change. And he was so fascinated and still followed Roy Choi on Twitter. And he was like, I want to make a movie about a chef that's doing, you know, big restaurant stuff, and then decides to make a change to go to something smaller. You know, kind of to mirror as a metaphor his move from big blockbuster films to a smaller film.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with this idea, this independent film, this movie Chef. And he asked Roy Choi to be the consultant on the film, the culinary consultant.
had they been keeping in touch between this time?
Not actively. It was just kind of like just passively on Twitter and social media. So it was they met in 08, but then 6 years later, a true friendship kind of comes together.
That's so interesting, because I feel like that's the thing. It's a thing that you don't... It's taken me a bit to understand this, I think, is what I'm trying to say. Because when you're a kid, you're in your early 20s or whatever, you meet someone, you're like, let's hang out on Friday, awesome! And then you, like, go to the bar or whatever, and it's great, and now you're friends. I feel like as an adult, especially, like, where those two guys were in their careers, where they're both, you know, hustling all day, long days of work... Sometimes you meet someone, you're like, I like this person, we'd get along great. I do not have space in my world right now for a friendship of the quality of our connection. And it kind of depends. Sometimes it just fades out, but sometimes it just waits there until there's the right opportunity, the right sort of excuse in some ways, to bring them back together.
Yes, yes. And that's something that is key for a lot of adults who are great at making friends, is they're just patient. They're like, this isn't the time right now.
Yeah.
So what happened was, Favreau just he brought him on to be a consultant for this Chef film, and Roy Choi was like, you're going to have to learn how to cook. You need to actually do this. And so they work together. And it's funny because Favreau has like a very comedian mindset. He comes from Second City training. He's got a little bit of a I don't know. He's kind of a downer, I guess. He gets stressed. He talks sure. about like when his first movie blew up, Swingers, and he was, you know, he became, you know, superstar overnight, and Vince Vaughn too. They were driving in L.A., and they saw each other driving, and so then they pulled over and talked to each other, and they were like, oh my God, can you believe this? Can you believe this? Wow, you know? And he was like, how do you feel? And Vince Vaughn was like, I'm miserable. And John Favreau was like, I'm miserable too. This is just, we're just always this way. And this is just, yeah, that's just who they are.
Wow.
And the reason I bring this up is there was something that really stuck out to me, a quote that John Favreau said that Roy Choi told him. And it was, when a chef sees a big bag of shallots, he's excited that he gets to peel them and use them. That's something I never thought of, is what Favreau said. And so let's unpack this. The part of it is what Roy Choi is saying is like, chefs get excited to use good ingredients. It's just like something that, this joy, the good ingredients get their juices flowing. Whereas, you know, a lot of comedians, a lot of people in entertainment, when they see a blank page, they're like, ugh. You know,
yeah.
You see a blank page and you're like, oh my God, that's overwhelming. A chef sees shallot and you're like, I mean, I guess it's not entirely blank because you get shallot. But just the excitement of, look at this beautiful thing that I'm about to turn into something else.
Yeah.
It's just a completely different mindset. And I think that's part of what attracted Favreau to Roy Choi, is his optimism and enthusiasm for his job and ingredients and the elements of his job. Just there's a joy in there.
Yeah.
And I think that joy is what attracted Jon Favreau to Roy Choi. And that joy has basically infected Jon Favreau, and he is a much more joyful person since being a part of Chef and his time with Roy Choi. Because after the film Chef was made, Jon Favreau would find excuses to fly Roy Choi to his set, like on Spider-Man or like whatever else they were shooting in Atlanta, and just be like, hey man, come on out here. Come on. Let's do something. And while, and part of it is Jon Favreau can never stop working. Mm-hmm. But he just commissioned his own film crew to just kind of follow him and Roy Choi cooking around the set, like either at people's houses, you know, their rented places in Atlanta, mm-hmm. where they were filming all the MCU movies, and just figuring things out. It wasn't necessarily going to be a show of anything, but they were just seeing what they could find. And those, like the initial filming sessions, some of them became the episodes of the first season of The Chef Show. Like the pilot is actually them cooking at Gwyneth Paltrow's place. And Gwyneth Paltrow is the one who introduced them. And famously, Gwyneth Paltrow in the pilot episode of The Chef Show reveals that she did not realize that she was in the movie Spider-Man.
The original? Like the Tobey Maguire one?
No, the one with Tom Holland.
Oh,
with
John Favreau. The more recent one. I was like, what?
The recent one. Yeah, she just didn't know that she was in the movie.
She thought she was and shooting John for Favreau, something else? Or?
Yeah, she thought it was for Avengers. Because like they shoot everything out of sequence that she has appeared in films that she doesn't even realize that she's in.
Wow. What a place to be in your career.
Yeah, it was an odd revelation, and everyone made fun of her for it, because it's like, you don't even know the movie that you're in? Holy, how detached are you from reality? And, you know, they had a little chuckle about it, and it's true, she is kind of detached. I don't know what to say, that's mm-hmm. true. That happened, but, you know, I don't know, man, she's trying. Yeah, busy. She's trying.
Busy writing Goop blog posts, you know?
Yeah, you know, she's trying, and John Favreau had a little laugh about it. Roy Choi had a little laugh about it. They were like, "Dude, you didn't know we made Spider. We were there."
Wow.
And she just didn't know. But you see these really great things. And on The Chef Show, part of what's really fun is they go to different restaurants in Los Angeles, and then also near some of the locations where they were filming. So they're in Atlanta, and then Austin, Texas, as well. You get some really great restaurants to show you how they do things. Like Jitlada. The lady behind Jitlada shows you how she makes the green sauce.
Oh, wow.
And for those of you that don't live in Los Angeles, Jitlada is, I'd say, the most famous Thai restaurant.
Probably.
In Los Angeles. Yeah. It's in Thai Town. It's very spicy, so we don't go there often. But it's still a lovely place. So anyway, they did this season of Chef Show. And then that launched Roy Choi into so many other TV appearances. You know, he's a super celebrity chef. He even did a Cheetos pop-up restaurant in 2018. Cheetos gave him money to do like a little pop-up that's all based around Flamin' Hot Cheetos, from Flamin' Hot Elotes to Flamin' Hot Rice Bowls. White cheddar Cheetos, sugar-dusted churros.
That's fun.
Yeah. He did another restaurant here in L.A. called Loco. And that was actually opened with a restaurant, like a Michelin-starred restaurateur. But I'm not sure if that one still even exists. I don't know. Yeah. COVID made everything hard. I was hoping to go through all these restaurants to prepare for this, but it's hard mm-hmm. to visit all these places. But some of them are still doing takeout, and that's super rad. And I do know that The Chef Show is still on Netflix, and season 2 of The Chef Show is coming out September 24th. So that's really soon. And if you get the chance and you live in Los Angeles, you gotta try Roy Choi's food. It's so damn good. And if you haven't watched a Jon Favreau movie, I highly recommend Jon Favreau movies. Maybe not Iron Man 2 or Cowboys and Aliens, but...
Yeah. There's a lot of others
to choose from. Take what you can get, I guess.
He's super prolific at this point. Check out some of The Mandalorian.
Yeah, man. Check Elf is dope.
Jungle Book, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so fun to see these guys grow and see them. I don't know. I love cooking. Cooking is a very important activity to me. It brings my mind peace. It's a way that I can bond with friends. It's a way that I can show my love for other people. And so I'm a huge sucker for cooking shows. And Roy Choi, to me, is the quintessential Angelino, and is awesome with Jon Favreau on The Chef Show.
That's really cool. Well, thank you for bringing that friendship today. Maybe I'll try to find a way to eat some Roy Choi food while watching a Jon Favreau movie.
Oh, dude. I mean, it's going to be tougher to get the Chago out here, but Kogi's still on the east side somewhere.
I'll just check on Twitter.
But Chago is definitely worth a trip to the west side. I make a couple of trips to the west side for food.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
There's great stuff all over LA.
So much. It's got its own culture. So you got to find it.
This is it's sort of inspiring to me, and I think I need to try to reframe my mental state, because whenever I'm cooking, it always feels like work, and it always feels like there's something else that I would be better suited to be doing right now. And to the point where, like, when I'm cooking, I'm just sort of like anxious about like how it's probably not going to turn out that great, and how I'm not, you know, how soon I can be done, and how all I really want to be doing is just eating the food. And it's kind of a bummer. Like, we did Blue Apron for a couple weeks, and the food was good. It's basically, they tell you to salt and pepper between every single step of the meal. So the health quality, not sure, but the meals all tasted great, but then it would take us like an hour plus just to prepare them. And it was just like stressful. And so, yeah, I want to get to that place. I want to look at a bag of shallots and be excited.
I, as a rule, I don't really use more than an hour to prep my dinner. That doesn't happen much for me. So I don't know.
I think Blue Apron was like, this should only take you 45 minutes. We just were very deliberate because we wanted to make sure we were doing it right. And I'm also a little slower, I think, because of my eyes.
Yeah.
So there's just less stuff I can be helpful with. And I don't know. It's just interesting because there's so many other things that do enjoy doing that bring me happiness. But that's one that I've just never been able to get into.
It's been tough because Alyssa is not someone who likes to cook either. She really doesn't. And that's something that we got to deal with in our household, because, like, I get so much joy out of it. But the thing is there's a concept of time that a lot of people don't realize. Like, once you get your skills up a little bit, it doesn't take very long to cook a lot of things. And, you know, when your skills are at a certain place, and also, like, obviously, Mark, you have some workarounds, but, you know, there's some ways you could work around it. If time is a concern, you could buy certain things pre-chopped, or, you know, there's things like that.
But I do enjoy conversing with people who are cooking, because I've spent a lot of my life doing that, and that's very fun.
Yeah, and when we cook together, you would do the activities that were, you know,
mostly
right,
I do
for you.
Dishes now. That's my role. As things get used, I clean
them. It's fine. I think it's a great thing for everyone to be involved in it. And when you take the time and something tastes good. Like, the other day I asked Alyssa to be in charge of the pasta for our meal. And, like, the pasta, it sounds like it's not that big of a deal. All you gotta do is boil the water and take it out in the time. But if you're not paying attention, that pasta is gonna suck. Mm-hmm. So it requires someone to care and pay attention. And if you care and pay attention, that pasta is going to be so delicious. It's going to be cooked just right so that it's going to absorb the sauce that I made, and it's going to mix together, and it's going to show that both people that worked on that food really cared. And so not only are we eating delicious food, but we're eating something that has been infused with the intention of extreme care and thought. Even though it's just taking pasta out of the water, it means so much that She took it out at the right time. Because she could have just cared about other shit. There's so many other things in the world to pay attention to than pasta. But that focus on something that should be, you know, seemingly unimportant, but it's important in the moment because you know that it's going to go into the body of the person you love. And that's part of what is important about cooking. And it's not necessarily about how complicated it is. It's about paying attention to something. They're eating the attention that you gave.
And I think part of my struggle is probably that I'm sitting there thinking, like, at some point you need to commit. This is this hour or whatever, this hour and a half, is time I am spending doing this thing. And if you can stop worrying about, like, should I be on my phone right now? Should I be answering emails? That sort of thing. Then it doesn't matter if stuff's taking a little longer or you're, like, you don't get the anxiety of, like, God damn, like, this chopping is taking forever.
Cooking is a reminder multiple times a day for you to be mentally present in the activity you are doing.
That's great. Well, I know what I'm going to do friendship-wise for the next week. Think harder about my cooking.
It will make everything better. And don't think about it hard, like you're going to hurt yourself. You know, just take the time, consider it, and think about your partner. Think about who you're cooking for when you're cooking. And, you know, be like, oh, man, I'm cutting these tomatoes right because they're going into, you know, Robin, my wife, my love, you know?
Awesome. Well, yeah, thanks again for bringing that friendship. if anyone wants
you got
to...
It, getting all hippy-dippy on
Brian
my cooking
about his
stuff.
Cooking. You can find him at Brian Wool on all of the platforms. If you want to give me tips about cooking, at Mark Musinski on all of those same platforms. And if you want more cool friendships about different things, just follow My Favorite Friendship on all the platforms, except Twitter, because they have a character limit, so it's My Fav Friendship. But other than that, have a delicious week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, bye everybody!